much fun. Y'all know better than that. Come on now. You know we don't have fun at Timber Creek. Hey, guys, if y'all knew how special of a moment this is for me and this lady and this team right here and for all of our staffs and even for a lot of you that was here last semester, this time six and a half months ago, we got the call to have to shut down. All right, we were right in the middle of this thing, and I was just talking to Pastor Jeremy, who's here this evening. Yeah, that's awesome. But what God's doing in the middle of this upside-down time right now, you need to look around and see what the hand of God is doing at Timber Creek. You're part of something special. We are part of something special tonight. We're part of something special. My name is Justin Lindsay. This is my beautiful, lucky bride, Whitney. That's right. She married up. You can clap to that. It's okay. There we go. Amen. Hey, we're the coaches of Encounter. We are here for you. We are so excited about what God's going to do this semester. I'm pretty sure I'm either associate of ministries or the ministry associates here at Timber Creek. I'm one of those two. I do what Pastor Stephen and my wife tell me to do. That's how I make it through the day. My wife is executive pastor for Pastor Stephen, our ministry's executive pastor, and we are thrilled to be part of this. I want to invite up, and I don't mean to put a spotlight on him, but our senior pastor, Pastor Jeremy's here, and he's going to come open us up. But he had a vision of this about 4 years ago. And me and my wife, and is there any original members in here? Right there, Liz Perez, me, and who else? I think that's it. Keisha's outside. We met over in the annex building, and all of a sudden they said, hey, we're going to do this thing called Encounter, and we're like, okay, sign us up. And here we are almost 4 years later, and God has done a miraculous, beautiful thing in this, and this is a vision that our pastor had, one of the greatest visionaries I've ever had the privilege of working with, ever had the privilege to meet, ever had the privilege of sitting under, and he wants to open us up because he cares that much. Pastor Jeremy? Yes. Yeah.
Wasn't too long ago that I met with this gentleman across. We used to actually meet inside Starbucks. It was crazy. These guys had split up. There was not a future, but God had other plans. And you met with me and you talked about how God had radically turned your heart around, how this church was a part of the conduit of how the Spirit of God. And it was only a few short weeks later, after months of process, of months of encounter of with God, not in a programmatic structure like this, but in just the way God moves. We were standing up on the stage out in the Lufkin location right out here, and Justin gave a testimony about how his family's been turned around, his heart's been turned around, and then he got on one knee and re-proposed to Whitney, and I was like standing in the middle of all the pictures, like, you know, and to see God, to see this family encounter God in that kind of way, to then see marriage restored, to see Whitney join the team, and just in August, Justin coming full-time onto our ministry team, that's what God's about. That's what God's about. He is about rewriting things and restoring stuff and making beauty from ashes. And so I'm not going to get into it. I already preached one long sermon today. So let me be quick and just say, Justin is right. A few years ago, I realized that we have a really wide open door on Sunday mornings at the Lufkin and a location at Iglesia, at the Nacogdoches location. Where are my Nacogdoches friends at tonight? Thank you for taking the drive and being a part of here. Iglesia, where you at, Iglesia? Okay, Lufkin location, how are you? How about my Crockett location? Not yet. Who knows where we're going? If you're from Duncan or Dieball, we need to talk. Just make sure that everything's good. Everything's copacetic. I made it, Pastor. Okay. I'll be fast, I swear. So it's a real wide open door. We're reaching people and people are getting saved every single week. It's amazing. But many times God wants to bring us out, but just because we're brought out, it doesn't mean that we're necessarily free. And when the Israelites were brought out of Egypt, they were saved from Pharaoh. They were saved from Egyptian slavery. But as they went into the wilderness, they weren't quite free. They had developed some customs and some habits and some hang-ups and some hand-me-downs. And God not only wants to save us, he wants to free us. And this gives us an opportunity to drill deeper. And I want you to know that encounters happen every single day. Close encounters, new encounters, reintroduce. I met a friend of Janet's from high school, an encounter with a friend that she had in high school today in the lobby. A new encounter with a guy who was brand new to the church today. New encounters. I encounter people. I encounter opportunities. I encounter obstacles. But God is desiring to be encountered. And I was going to read it this morning in the sermon, but I just couldn't find a place for it. It's a quote by a very popular pastor, devotional writer, A.W. Tozer. And let's see if I can get the quote right. What comes to mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. Let me say it again. What comes to mind when you think about God, it's the most important thing about you. And this experience, way more than a classroom, this is a laboratory where you will, if you want, can encounter God. He is available to be encountered. If you want to lock up, if you want to push back, if you want to stiff arm, you can. If you want to put defenses up, you can and you will. But if you will, even today, begin to set your mind, what comes to your mind when you think about God, why wasn't he there when that happened? Why didn't he save me from that situation? And I just was talking to Pastor Stephen. You can't always control what happened to you, but you can control your surrender. And I invite you, if you want more of God, he says, come on, let's go. Let's go. If you're okay with what you have, he says, I'm not going to push you through it. But there's more. There's more. There's more freedom. There's more hope. There's more future. There's more. Now go get it. Let's go get it. Let's determine right now we're going to get it. We're going to get after encountering God personally. Amen, everybody? Let's pray. Father, before we even launch in, we're so thankful. We got stopped short 5 weeks in a few months ago, but you know, and you're still good. And even in the middle of a global pandemic, you know what's going on. And God, I thank you that we are here in this moment. You're going to do great things. And so what we do now is we are going to control our surrender. And I just invite you to just take a deep breath. Just fill up your lungs. Just fill it up. Just let it out. God, we're going to surrender today. We invite you to fill us up with everything that you have. And God, we would exhale anything that needs to be taken away. God, do what only you can do in this process. May we leave here over the next few weeks saying, wow, I've met with Jesus. So thankful for the tables. So thankful for the table hosts. So thankful for our facilitators. But we're going to meet with you, Jesus. May we encounter you, the God of the universe. We ask it all in your name. And everybody said amen. Hey, give it up for Justin and Whitney one more time.
All right, guys, we'll see y'all week 2. That's a wrap. Okay, I'm gonna bring up one of my dear friends, one of the leaders of Encounter. Before we get going, if you're on the Encounter team, please stand up. I want y'all to look. Yeah. That's okay. Luke, stand up. All right. Yeah, we're a little bit behind, but we're gonna run with this how God intends it, okay? This team is here for you. That's what we're here for. If you have a need, look around. We can meet it. The need you have in this room, right, God will meet your need, but God put this team together so we can serve you. We're here tonight and every night moving forward during the week to serve you guys, okay? So take a look at your table hosts. Take a look at the leaders in the back. That's what we're here for, okay? All right, guys, you can sit down. All right, Zane, if you will, come on up. Come on up, Zane. Zane is going to lead us in a table game. This is one of the leaders of Encounter. Him and his beautiful wife, Danae, raise your hand. They help me and Whitney, yeah, push this train down the track. So I'm going to turn it over to Zane.
Howdy, guys and gals. Good to see all y'all. Some familiar faces from last semester, eh? Yeah, but also some new faces. Cool. So make sure and check your table host. In your box, you will see there's a dice game we're going to play. Yes, we do play games with dice. It's not like it's demon or possessed or anything like that. It's going to be something fun, okay? It's going to be cool. So what's going to happen is your table host is going to roll the dice, and if you roll a certain number, you're going to share something with that table, right? And it's if you roll number one, for instance, you're going to tell your deepest, darkest secret that you've never told anybody else, that only your spouse knows, or maybe the one. No, I'm kidding. It's usually something like, hey, if you got stuck on an island, what three things would you bring with you? That kind of thing. So just make sure, have fun with it. You know, like share with the team, share, you know, and tell the reason why you gave that answer too, right? That's the point of this, an icebreaker. Just connect with your table host and the people around you, okay? So get to rolling. Let's go. I gotta tell you, after we played this game, whenever we were playing, I think one of the dice, isn't it like if you roll a number, like you gotta say if you could meet someone dead or alive, who would it be, you know, something, I think that's one of them in there. During the break time, I connected with my wife and she's like, hey, did you roll that number? I was like, yeah, I did. And she's like, you say it was me that you wanted to meet? I said, honey, what happens in Encounter stays in Encounter, okay? That's our table's business, okay? But all joking aside, I hope you guys and gals were able to connect with the people there and your table host, because this will be your table going forward, right? So that way you're not coming in, you're thinking, oh, well, I'm in the back and I'm going to be in the front now or whatever. No, this is your designated table. It's your host, your people. So make sure connect with the people around you, because that's going to be your like small community within this community, okay? So one other thing I wanted to ask before we get to moving on, because I know we're running a little bit late, is the student book. Tony, do you mind if I borrow yours real quick or right here? Does everybody, every student here, do you have a book? If you don't have a book, raise your hand and we will get one to you immediately. Okay? Everybody got a book? Great. So no excuses for not paying attention. That is awesome. Fantastic. Okay. All right. So you got your book. Now you all know each other. You know your table host. I think, man, that's about it. We're ready to rock and roll. Are you? Are you ready to rock and roll? I'm ready to rock and roll. So without further ado, we'll go ahead and get on with the teaching. And I would like to introduce my man, Justin Lindsay. Give him a big hand as he comes up.
All right. They asked me, I got to play the dice game over here. And they rolled it until they got to the one that they asked me, what three things would I take to a desert island? And there ain't but one answer, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then I backed up and I was like, wait a minute, that's not gonna work. So I'd bring a yacht, a staff and some food, because if I'm going to get back home, I might as well enjoy the trip, right? That's three things. That's three things, is it? No, that don't work? Okay. Well, maybe y'all are on a different island than I am. My island has a boat, a big boat, with a staff and good food on it. All right, guys. Well, hey, again, welcome to the class. And the name of this class is, it's Encounter. And as I was studying this, I love how we're intentional about everything. Like our grow tracks are called grow tracks 1, 2, and 3, because you grow differently in each one of them. You grow in this one a certain way, and this one a certain way. And this class is called Encounter because that's what we're here for. We're here to encounter the living God in a unique way like we haven't encountered him before. We're here to experience God in a way that maybe no matter where you're at in your walk, whether you're seasoned and you may run a church, or you're still dipping your toes in the water saying, I don't even know what this Jesus thing is about. Guess what? You're in the right place tonight. And God wants to meet you, and he wants to have an encounter with you right where you're at tonight. That's why this class is called Encounter. There's a scripture. Oh, I got to start my time so I don't get in trouble. There's a scripture in Job 42:5. Who in here's heard? Who's ever read the story of Job? Job was. Whew, you want to see a man tested? You want to see a man go through the fire? You want to see a man who has everything at one time and then has everything stripped away from him in an instant? He lost it all except for one thing: relationship. He had one thing to cling to, and it was something that he had heard about. It was something that he had heard from the elders and from his family and from his lineage, is this thing about God, this relationship with God, and he had heard it so much. And he believed in it so much through what he heard that through his darkest times he clung to, and it says that he never turned against God. When I say he lost it all, he lost his children, his fortune, his fame, his health. He lost everything except for one thing. He always went back, even when his best friends tried to tell him. His friends tried to tell him, hey, just speak that against God. He kept one thing. And look what this scripture says. It says, I heard of you by the hearing of the ear. And if you study Job 42:5, this is where Job is completely restored. Does anybody in here need some restoration tonight? Come on, I do. One person needs restoration. We got to be honest with us. Does anybody in here need something? Is something in their life broken that needs the hand of God to touch it? That's what this class is about. Come on now. I know I do. I'm no different from anybody. There's areas in my life that I need the hand of God. Look at what Job says. This is when he gets restored. He says, I heard of you by the hearing of the ear. He says, but now my eyes see you. Now my eyes see you. He says, I heard of you. And I clung to that hope of that scripture, of that promise that I heard from my family, from my grandparents, from the ministers in my life. But now... now I see you. That's what I need. That's what we all need. That is a true encounter with the living God. So what is an encounter? An encounter is when you come to a face-to-face experience with someone. Okay, it is to come upon an experience especially unexpectedly. Has anybody ever been walking through the house and someone jump out from behind the corner and scare them? Oh, three heart attacks. I died and revived right there three times. It's scary. My daughter is an Elvis fan, and she's got this full-size 6'7" Elvis cutout that she got for her birthday yesterday. And I walked into the house a while ago, and I thought there was a man in my house. I encountered a cardboard cutout of Elvis Presley, and I like to die three times. But I encountered him. I experienced him. And I want to hang on that word experience just for a second, and then we're going to do something. Okay? But see, it's hard to know and become what you cannot see. And we're going to break this down here in a little bit. It's hard to know and become like someone, hey, you do not know. We come to know who God is as we experience Him, as we encounter Him. The word experience, I want you to hear the definition. It means to directly observe or participate. This is important. Pastor Jeremy said it a while ago. If you want to encounter God in this class, I promise you will. But if you don't want to, God will not kick that door down. But if you want to experience this living God, He'll kick the door down for you. Okay? It says that, but we have a part in it. We have to participate. And it says participate in events as a basis of knowledge. I can say one thing about this class. We're going to give you knowledge. We're going to give you the Word of God. What you do with it, what you do with that experience, what you do with the Holy Spirit speaking to you, speaking to that thing in your life, that responsibility falls on you. Because you're going to get out of this class what you put into this class. You're going to get out exactly what you want. And I promise, I can make this promise because it's never returned void on me. If you will pour into the experience, if you will pour into the process of this class, I promise at the 8 weeks, your life will be different. I promise God will change your life. He will meet you where you're at right now, and He will change your life. Does anybody want God to change something in their life? Raise your hand. Come on. Well, then this class is made for you. This class is made for you tonight. Okay, we're fixing to do something called a spiritual inventory. Okay? It's a spiritual inventory thing. We're going to take a moment. This is in Appendix A. It's in your books. This is what we're going to do. We're going to examine ourselves. All right? We're going to examine ourselves. And it says where we are now, right now, and where we want to be. Where do you want to be? Everybody has a destination. Everybody has something in their mind of what they want to receive from this. And it says, and set goals according to what we feel God is wanting to do in our lives this semester. There is a soft whisper in your ear. There is a soft stir in your spirit. There's a soft voice in your heart right now that you know God's wanting you to deal with it, or maybe you just don't understand it completely. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And so what we want to do is we want to verbalize this and we want to write it down, because what we're going to get to do is come back to this at the end, and we're going to get to see what God's done in our life, okay? All right, let's take about 5 minutes and do this. Listen, you can take it. I encourage you to take it home, and maybe God begins to speak even some more things to you. This is your book for the semester. This is your book moving forward. This is your personal book now. You get to take it home. And so I would encourage you to if God speaks something to you in this about who God wants you to be, or some things that God's wanting you to deal with during this process, I encourage you to go write it down, because I promise at the end of this, we're going to get to come back and look. And some of you are going to come back and look, and you're going to see some major victories in your life. And you're going to say, you know what? I encountered God there. Ah, He showed up there. I didn't even know, but that was Him there. And it's a powerful thing to be able to come back and look at where we are today to where God's brought us in a short time, okay? All right, we're fixing to move on into the teaching, and we're fixing to go over about what does an encounter do, okay? Like we just talked about, the encounter is this experience. It's actually when we come into contact with someone, and it's a lot of times it's unexpectedly. There's a lot of things that God has done in my life that were unexpected that I wasn't planning on. And I think a lot of times that happened because when it happened, I was like, oh, that has to be God right there. There's no way I could do that. That has to be God. That's a God thing, because I know Justin Lindsay. Justin hasn't had the capacity to be able to pull that off, or to think like that, or strategically make this thing, this provision or this healing or this clarity in a situation happen like that. And so what we want to do is we want to talk about what an encounter does. And this is very powerful. Number one, an encounter with God reveals our true identity. And I love the word true, because no matter where you're at right now, we have an identity, all right? And as children of God, we're identified as His children. So we have an identity. But as we begin to encounter God, it reveals truly where we're at in our walk. It reveals truly where we're at in our personal life. It can reveal where you're at in your financial life. It can reveal where you're at as a husband, as a wife. It can reveal to you your personal self as a parent. It can reveal to you as an employer. It reveals to you your true identity of where we're at. And I don't know about you, but I know for a fact that I'll never get to a place in my identity where I'm okay perfectly where I'm at. Because I always want God to do more in my life. God, I know for a fact that God wants to continue doing more in our life until we meet Him in glory. There's not this ultimate goal where we say, hey, I've reached this pinnacle. This is who I am. I don't need more of Jesus in me. And our identity where we're at right now, no matter where you're at in your walk, it's okay. It's okay to be where you're at. I don't want anybody in here to believe the lie the enemy says, you know what, this class doesn't apply to you. This process will not work for you because of what you've done. That's a lie. Anybody in here have children? A whole bunch of you. Is anybody in here be willing to tell you, you know what, son, you've just done too much. I can't love you no more. No. Our human side can't even do that. Imagine the power of a heavenly Father that created us. So where you're at right now, I just want you to know it's okay. It's okay to be where you're at. But guess what? It ain't okay to stay that way. And we're going somewhere with this, okay? So your identity is who a person is. It's basically like an archaeologist gently brushes and scrapes away debris and dirt to discover the true identity of a fossil. Listen to this. God uses encounters with us to brush away and remove the dirt and dross from our old sinful lives to reveal our true identity. That's a process. If you ever watch them bone people on TV, they don't just take a shovel or a big old scooper, an excavator, and go to digging, do they? It's a little bit at a time, and when they find what they're looking for, they identify what they're looking for, they gently, and it may take years to gently brush away. You know why? Because they don't want to damage nothing. They don't want to break what's there. And they slowly sweep away until the identity of what they're looking for is revealed. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He's not just going to come in here and drive a stake in us or try to scoop us out with a bucket, because if it happened like that, we'd either think we accomplished something or something could be broke that needed to be mended first. And as the Holy Spirit in Jesus begins to brush away the sinful nature of our past and the sinful ways that we think, then all of a sudden this new identity begins to show itself, and all of a sudden this form, this beautiful thing begins to emerge, and all of a sudden, as the old has been brushed away, you begin to walk in this new identity and this new freedom, and you're like, man, it feels good getting this old junk off of me. It feels good having this new heart, having this new mindset, but it takes a process of God dealing with this and God dealing with that to reveal that true identity. Amen? Okay, come on. Y'all can speak. This is the interactive class. I want to hear from you. All right? God likes us to praise and worship with Him, so y'all get in this with me. Come on. All right. Number two, there you go. An encounter with God will show you, hey, look here, who He really is. His true identity. I want to read this scripture. Man, this scripture right here, I'm fixing to show you something powerful. The Old Testament, I love it. I love the Old Testament books. Look at this. In Exodus 34, 5 and 7, it says, the Lord descended into the clouds and stood there with Him. That Him is Moses, who He's talking to, as He called upon the name of the Lord. So basically, Moses is calling for God. God shows up and He reveals Himself to Moses. Look what God does. I don't know about y'all. This gets me excited because my God knows who He is. My God knows what kind of God He is. And this is the kind of God I want to encounter in my life. He says, then the Lord passed by in front of him and He proclaimed. This is God proclaiming. This is God identifying Himself. He says, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious. Is there anybody in here who needs some compassion and grace tonight? Amen. He says, slow to anger. Oh, thank God. Because if He wasn't, y'all would be listening to somebody else tonight. abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgressions, and sin. These are the characteristics that God is speaking about himself. And I don't know about you, class, but that's a God that I want to get to know. That's a God that I can buy into. That's a God right there of relationship. That's a God that I'll hang my hat on, because I need compassion and grace in my life. I need forgiveness in my life. I need a gracious, a powerful, outstretched arm holding me and walking me through this crazy thing called life. All right? I need my transgressions. If we wrote my transgressions all across this board, that board wouldn't hold it, because I'm the most unlikely suspect to be behind this microphone. But because the God that I encountered loved me right where I was. I was a broken man. I was a broken father. I was a broken husband. I was a broken soul. And God said, yeah, but you're still mine. And he says, I still have a plan for you. And he says, it doesn't matter what your past looks like, because I want to be the author of your future. Guess what? If you're sitting in here tonight, it does not matter what you did today or yesterday. It doesn't. And it's not because of us, it's because of him. Because he says so. And he says, I don't care what you did yesterday. He says, but I do want to be the author of your future. And he says, I got a plan to prosper you and not harm you. I don't know about y'all guys, but that's something that I can buy into right there. That is something I can buy into. It says, the next fill in the blank says, who you really are and who you are not. Your present identity. We just talked about this. It goes back to that saying, it's okay not to be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. You've probably never heard this before, but listen, it does not matter who you are today. It doesn't. Today's about over with. It doesn't matter who you are. What matters is who you can become. That's why we're in here. We're not in here to shine on who you used to be. We're not in here to shine on who you are. What we want to do is we want to open up this living well so you can see and know who you can become. I don't know about y'all, but I get this thing one time. I get one shot at it. One shot at it. And I want to become all God designed me to be. Everything God designed me to be. I have wasted a lot of my life chasing the things that left me empty. And it's because I did not know who I was. But more than anything, I truly didn't know who he was. And when I got connected to who he was, it began to change who I am and who I'm going to be. And it flipped my life upside down for the best. He destroyed and buried the dead things, and the new things that God had designed in me from birth began to resurrect and come to life. And it's not because I had the capabilities of doing it. It's because of who God is. It's because of what he did on the cross. Some of y'all aren't hearing what I'm saying. It's not what you can do. It's what Jesus Christ did up on the cross. His blood covers you. His blood was not just for salvation. It was for purpose. It was for power. It was for protection. It was for healing. It was for peace. Does anybody in here want some of that tonight? Well, come on, Encounter. We're talking about the living God in here tonight. We are not talking about a golden calf statue. We're not talking about a God that his word can return void, because it will not. We're talking about the one that breathed life into our lungs. And when we get that down inside of us and we realize who he is in our life, and that our Lord is the Lord of Lords, and he spoke every bit of this into creation, and it all sits in the palm of our hands, we are victorious. We ain't got to fight this battle from a position of defeat anymore, because God says, when you're mine, you're victorious, because I've already won the battle. I've already put my foot on the neck of the enemy. Whatever that enemy is, if it's depression, God's got his foot on the neck of depression. If it's anxiety, God's got his foot on the neck of anxiety. If your marriage is broken, he's got his foot on the neck of divorce. You just got to believe and realize who your God is. When you do that, it empowers you and it shakes the gates of hell. Because when you find out who you're supposed to be through encountering Christ, it rattles the gates of hell, and he hates it, because he knows the power that you get, and he knows the people that you'll change. That's what this is about. If we can't get excited about that, people, We're lost. Somebody needs to get fired up because Jesus Christ is in control of this. Come on. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. It's okay to give. Hey, listen. Every time we call out to God, what we're doing is we're shackling the old enemy because he cannot operate in the presence of Jesus Christ. Go study the Bible. The demons, before the people even knew him, the demons said, oh, wait a minute. That's the Son of Man. That's the Son of God. Just send me away because I can't even exist and reside in your presence because of your power. That's your daddy right there. That's the daddy we get to call Jesus Christ, okay? That's my father. That's my father. Come on. All right. Corinthians 1, 6, 9. I can't see. I got my glasses on. Lisa, how am I doing, baby? All right. I'm doing good. Corinthians says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? It says, do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Now hear this. When you see the word but, then, or so in the Bible, you highlight it and get excited because God's taking you somewhere. He says, and such were you, some of you. Every one of you in here at one point in time was one of them right there. Every one of us. But, man, I love it when the Bible says but. It says, but you were washed. You were sanctified. That word sanctified means you were set apart in counter. God set you apart from the beginning of time and said, that one right there is mine, and I'm taking them somewhere, and it's going to be the glory. You're set apart. You're not like everybody else. God's got a plan for your life. And there's some of you in here tonight that still doesn't believe that. You are sanctified by the blood of Jesus, not by what you're capable of doing. You are set apart for something greater than what you're living in right now. And he says you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Everything that God does by his hand is for his children. Everything. Creation was for us. He could have created anything to be in his image. He created us. He created us to have a relationship with him. And God wants something special in your life tonight. We're fishing to look at some examples in the Bible. We're going to take about 10 minutes to do this group work. The table hosts have the names. All right. These are three unique stories in the Bible that encounter God. And we want you to look at these encounters with God and see the results. Don't just read this and be like, that's cool. You have to identify with that person. Because I promise you, there's something in that story, there's something in there that y'all are reading that identifies you with that person. And the same God that met Saul on the road to Damascus that became Paul is the same God sitting in this room tonight. You hear me? Same God. He did not change. He's the same one, and he wants to meet you right where you're at. Go ahead. Had Moses. All right, Jeremy, back here in the back. What was unique about Moses' encounter with God? Moses, it says in the Bible that there was no other prophet like Moses, because Moses had encountered God a lot because he put a big calling on his life. Okay, he asked Moses to do some pretty wild things, and so Moses, without the encounters, daily encounters of Moses of God through Moses, you know, he used Moses to deliver his people from the Egyptians and from Pharaoh, and so without those personal encounters with God, Moses would have never been able to do that on his own. Moses would have never attempted it. That's what I love about encounters with God. God calls us to do things all the time that we had never attempted on our own. And that's what's beautiful about encountering God, is that he takes us to another level that we never thought possible. All right. What about Hagar? Who had Hagar? Right there. Wendy, your table.
So when she wanted to flee,
Say that last part. God meets us exactly when in our life, no matter what's going on. One of the most powerful times that I met God, I was 35 years old. I was divorced, and I was standing on the front porch of my little trailer house I finally acquired. I lived in my truck for 3 months. And I was standing on my porch, and I looked at God, and I said, all right, for 35 years, I've done it my way. Let me try yours for once. And right then and there, God met me, one of the most powerful, brought me to my knees. And in a week later, I was fishing at Toledo Bend, and my wife called me, and my little baby girl, Cody was 3 at the time, had to have emergency surgery on her, is that appendix, I think? Yeah, on her appendix, right? And little kids like that, they don't do that kind of surgery around here. Well, luckily, God called in a favor. And I remember leaving my lake house. I was as lost and beat up as I've ever been in my life. And I left my lake house in Logansport, Louisiana. And when I woke up, I was in Appleby saying, I don't remember none of the drive. And all I remember is the Spirit of God that fell on me. And I encountered God in a major way. And that day, when I walked in the hospital, the day I chose, I said, God, I'm yours. Encounters with God. He met me as a drunken addict who left his family, left his wife and 3 beautiful kids. And he met me right where I am. And look what he's done to my life in a short time. Amen. Encounters with God. Who had Saul and Paul? Let's go right here. Derek. What did you just say? He got his what back? He did get his sight back. But do you think after God blinded Paul or Saul at the time and he restored his vision, do you think he had new vision then? You think about that. Why would God blind you so you quit looking at your past? See, God didn't need Saul to be Saul anymore. He didn't need Saul to see things the way he used to see it. He needed Saul to transfer over to Paul and see the way God intended him to see it. So when he got his sight back, he got new vision. God wants somebody in here needs to hear this tonight. Somebody in here needs new vision. They need to quit looking at their past circumstances and begin to look through the lens and the eyes of Jesus Christ. And it's a lens of hope. It's a lens of purpose. Right? It's a lens of a promise. It's a different lens. It's a lens of freedom. And somebody in here needs to hear that tonight. You don't have to look over your shoulder no more. It's behind you. God's forgiven you of that. You can't change it. Quit looking in your past. What does your new Paul look like? Those are 3 powerful encounters in the Bible. But those are 3 of thousands. Study the Word of God. It is the most beautiful, amazing, fun, crazy, twisted, life-giving book you'll ever experience in your life. It is. And everything that happens in the Bible, there's an encounter with God, an encounter with Jesus, an encounter with the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. We're going to give you all a break for a little bit. We're going to close. We're going to stop and break for just about 5 to 6 minutes. Let everybody go take a bathroom break. We got coffee and water. Our amazing hospitality team, when you come back, we'll have even more snacks on your table. And go. Tonight, and some of y'all want to go home and watch. And so we always want to try and honor your time every Sunday because, you know, we know Monday spends a new work week, school with kiddos and college or whatever you're into. And so we want to make sure that we honor your time each week. So we want to go ahead and dive into the second part of this. And everything that we do here is a building block. So what we teach in the second part builds off the first part. Week two builds off of week one and so forth. And listen, as we go through this, guys, there is some of the most amazing things that God's going to reveal to you through these teachings, through these exercises, through your conversation at the table. And then, and listen, what we do in here doesn't stop in here. All right, God doesn't just want to speak to you right here. He wants to speak to you throughout the week. It doesn't say he's encountering God during your two-hour class. God will encounter you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week if you're willing to show up. He's already there, okay? So we want to take this, and we don't want to just leave it here. It's kind of like, think about working out. And just say you went into the room, you know, and you walked around the treadmill. You're like, what? And went over there and touched the weight bench and be like, whew, where you been? I've been at the gym. It's not exactly the same as if when you walk out dripping sweat, and if y'all don't know that we have an endurance marathon runner here, Mr. Eric True, raise your hand here, Mr. Eric True, yes. He runs about 65 miles a day. Actually, if we want to get down to it, his wife is the one who's the runner. Yeah, that woman right there, buddy, she can outrun my truck. I mean, my truck ain't all that, but she can outrun my truck. But it takes, you can't just go in there and do it a little bit and expect it to, you have to continue throughout. You got to make good decisions throughout the week, okay, in order for the work that you put in to continue to see results. I can't go work out, believe it or not, I work out, all right? I know you're like, why is this guy talking about the gym? Believe it or not, I go every morning, most mornings, let's be honest. But if I don't make good decisions with what I eat, if I don't make good decisions with my activity level throughout the day, if I don't make good decisions with my sleep and my rest and things like that, I can work as hard as I want to in the gym and the results are not going to show themselves. Well, you can work as hard as you want to in this class for 2 hours. But if you don't take and apply this to your daily life, if you don't take and spend time and encounter God in your daily life, I promise this 2-hour class is not going to get you to next week. It's not going to get you what you're looking for. This 2-hour class is an injection of Christ. It is an injection of truth. It's an injection of freedom. And God wants you to take this and apply it to your personal life because He doesn't want you just to grow in here. He wants you to grow in everything in every aspect of your life. So that's kind of what we want to look at in this thing is keys to modern day encounters with God. What are these encounters kind of do? What are keys to them? How do we know we're encountering God? What are the steps that we need to take? Like I have a workout routine. I don't just go in there and randomly do stuff. I have a plan. My wife is the greatest planner in the world. I wake up in the morning and I don't plan for nothing. I just go. Amen. I just go. Okay? My wife, she's got the next 15 years planned out. I don't know what I'm going to teach on her in just a second. That's a joke, guys. I studied. But when you have a plan, I've learned that when we have a plan, there's success in a plan because there's organization in it. When we're intentional about doing certain things, there's more results. Well, when we're intentional when we're intentional about encountering Christ, I promise you will encounter the living God. All right, this section says I have 55 minutes. Let me sit down. That was a joke, guys. Come on. Some of y'all rolled your eyes and be like, really? This boy here? All right. So keys to modern. Number one is awareness. It is awareness. See, we must be aware of the fact that God still longs. He still longs to reveal himself to us just as much as he did with the people in the Bible. If you think for a second that God desires that God desired to reveal himself more to the disciples and to Paul and to Moses and to Abraham and to all the characters in the Bible more than he desires to reveal himself to us? That is a lie straight from the enemy, because God desires to reveal himself to us, and we need to be aware of the fact that the God that we're pursuing, the God that we desire to have an encounter with, not only do we desire it, but that's his number one desire. His number one desire is to have a relationship with his children. That's it. He wants to talk to you. He wants you to encounter him. God doesn't need to encounter us. He could have made a goat to praise him, okay? Even the rocks cry out to him, but he chose us. So because he chose us, he desires that relationship. So we need to be aware of the fact that as we begin this process that we call encounter, we need to be aware that not only is this something that we desire, but more than that is that the God of the cosmos desires it more than we do. That's refreshing. When I sit down and spend time in the Word, all right, and I listen to worship music, I know I'm not alone. I know that the presence of the Father is there with me because he desires that time with me. And when I'm aware of his presence, it just changes something about you. Number two, intentionality and focus. It says we must intentionally make time to spend with him. The greatest illustration that I can do with this is marriage. See, I'm in a marriage to a lady named Whitney Lindsay. And we've already spilled the beans. We've been married twice. I'm so lucky. But this second time, one of the things that I wanted to make sure that I was going to do more than I did before was I wanted to be intentional to her needs. I wanted to be intentional to listen to her. I wanted to be more intentional with my children. I wanted to be more intentional with my time. I wanted to be more intentional with my words and the way I spoke to my bride and the things that I spoke over and the way I spoke about my children and the way I spoke about my household. I wanted to be intentional about the way I was called to love her. And the reason why is because the more intentional I am to my wife, the more brings in focus the needs that I need to meet in her life, and it brings a new focus into my life of how I need to go left or right, or how I need to provide, or how I need to listen. But when I'm not intentional, what happens is all of these needs, all of this relationship, all of this opportunity to get to know my wife even more, because I adore my wife and I want to know my wife even more, they just pass me by. They just pass me by. How many times has the presence of God just passed us by? Because our focus was on something else. Because we weren't intentional about the time. God's not asking for 24 hours a day. But could you start with 15 minutes? Not 15 hours. Let's be realistic. But some of us in here, and I'm just speaking truth, we want God to move in our life. We want God to change this. We want God's hand to touch this or show up there. But we're so intentional about everything else in our life that we lay our scraps down before God. Our focus is on everything else in our life. And we wonder why we're broken. We wonder why we keep missing the voice of God. And it's not that he's not speaking. It's that we're moving so fast and we're focused on so much other stuff that we don't even recognize it. Intentionality is so important. And when we're intentional about making time to spend with him and God shows up, I challenge you. I know some of y'all in here aren't morning people. I am. I love the morning. My time's in the morning. Find your time, but I can tell you, I challenge you. Wake up. Set your alarm for 15 minutes earlier in the morning. 15 minutes earlier. 5 minutes in the Word of God, a 5-minute worship song, and 5 minutes of prayer, and see if it doesn't make your day better. See if it doesn't. test it, and intentionally wake up and say, God, this 15 minutes I'm going to do for you. And see if it doesn't begin to change your day. And if your day begins to change, or let's just break it down. If your morning begins to change, then your day begins to change, then your weeks begin to change, then your months begin to change, and all of a sudden your life begins to change. And your focus begins to go back and say, you know what? That 15 minutes, man, that's not enough. I want more of this. I want more. And I promise you, you can't outgive God. You can't do it. Number three, surrender. We must allow the encounters we experience to change us. I know this word surrender scares some of you. But here's the thing about Christian godly surrender. It's completely reversed from what society says about surrender. Society says, hey, if you want victory, you better chase after that giant thing and go take it. And God says, hey, if you'll surrender, you'll be victorious. It's called reverse economics. He says, if you'll surrender, I'll make you victorious. Now, what sense does that make? If I surrender, how can I get victory? Because what you're doing is you're saying, God, I'm yours. I receive your will. I'll release my will. I surrender my life to you, and I want the life that you see for me, the will that you have in heaven, be here on earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The model prayer, that's saying, God, the will that you created for me in heaven, the one that you designed for me from the day you breathed life into my lungs, that will is the will that I want to receive. That is surrender. But when you do that, buddy, you can walk in victory. You want to know why? Because when you're walking in the calling and the surrender that God's put on your life, what do you have to worry about? Matthew 6 and 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Basically, I'll take care of everything else. Surrender yourself to the calling of God. Surrender yourself. If you want to be victorious, throw your hands up and say, God, I'm tired of doing it my way. Let's try yours. Surrender. Number four, I love this one because this is where you get to get down and you get to get tough and we get to get a little nitty gritty. Number four is persistence and patience. See, it says we must seek him until we see him. We must seek him until we see him. I'm a very persistent person. Very persistent person. I haven't always been the most patient. Amen. I haven't always been the most patient, but persistence. See, here's the thing, and I think a lot of us get hung up on this, is that we bring God this issue, and we lay it down at the foot of the throne. We says, all right, God, this is what I'm dealing with, and let's just take it to a whole nother structure that everybody can relate to. Let's just talk about finances for a second. God, it just it's not working. I've lost my job. I ain't got no money. I don't have no gas for my boat. Oh, hang on. This isn't a tithing thing. All right? This isn't a tithing lesson. But we break so much in our life. And then all of a sudden we cry out to God. And when he don't instantly fix it, we're like, God, where are you? And here's the problem with that. If God instantly fixed every single thing in our life that we broke, the minute he fixed it, we'd go back to breaking it. So it takes persistence and it takes patience, because in that process of being persistent and being patient, what happens is we encounter God in this process. We begin to see God in a new light. We say, oh, well, you provided for me here. I didn't recognize that. You give me an extra hour of work here. This bill was cheaper. This happened. The reason I'm using finances is because everybody can relate to money in here. Talk about a relationship. Maybe somebody in here needs healing in a relationship. We spent 20 years tearing it apart, and when God don't heal it in 2 months, we throw a fit, and God says, where are you at? Where are you at? And God wants us to patiently wait and be persistent. Go study the disciples. You want to talk about persistence and patience. Whew. God put them boys in some predicaments. I mean, them boys are out in the middle of a storm wondering, God, where are you at? He called them guys. He just, all of a sudden, they're walking with Jesus one day, and the next day, they're like, where's he at? He's gone. They took him. He's on the cross. He's in the tomb. He's gone. What do we do now? Oh, God, what do we do now? And what did he say? He said, wait. He told them to wait. When God tells us to wait, there's a purpose in our waiting, and the purpose in our waiting is so that we can experience God in even more depth ways. Because in our waiting, in our pining, consider Job. In his waiting process, he didn't know that he was going to be restored, but he patiently clung to what he heard until he saw the restoration. And then he was looking back and he says, oh, I get it now. Everything that I've been through in my life, I can look back and say, even though I screwed it up, I see you in it now, God. As crazy as it may sound, I seen God in my divorce. Because the court said I was divorced, but God says, no, that covenant was to me. You're not divorced with me, son. And I'm going to use this to glorify myself. I'm still paying for that divorce today. But you know what? Through the whole thing, God never left me. Through the whole thing, when I was my worst. But I'm going to tell you what I did when I stood on that porch and I told God, I'm going to take your way this time. He did not snap his fingers and everything was okay, I promise you. I've been in a process. I moved out of a $200,000 house into a two-bedroom trailer house with five people. Praise God that he did, because I learned more about who I was and who God was in that little rundown trailer house than I have in any mansion I've ever lived in. I wouldn't trade it for nothing in this world. Would you, Whitney? We had to persistently pursue God and patiently wait. And I'm still waiting for God to show up in my life. But you know why? You know why I can lay my head down tonight and rest in peace? It's because I know God's hands are at work in my life because I'm his child. That's why. And I'm going to learn more about who I am and more about who God is in this process. And you want to know why? There's a reason why. It's because God's going to use this to reach somebody else for his kingdom. It's all about him. My process is about him. It's about his glory. It's so I can stand on my platform and say, look what Jesus Christ has done in my life. Look at the redemption in my life. Let me tell you about my story. Let me tell you about my God. That's what the disciples' jobs were. That's what our job is. And when we persistently and patiently wait on the hand of God to move, we encounter God in ways we never thought imaginable. And then when God does show up and that prayer is answered, we get to look at it and say, there's no way the hand of Justin Lindsay could ever do that. Because if we ever get to a point where we think we're the good in our life, we have got it completely backwards, because the Bible says all good things come from above. And when we persistently, patiently wait and pray for that family member to come to encounter, or we pray for that family member to receive salvation, or we pray for that husband or that wife to come back to the marriage, or we pray for that lost child. When we persistently and patiently wait, God says, I can work with that, and I'm going to show you grace along the way. Number five, understanding. Understanding. We need to be able to ask and able to answer this. What have these encounters revealed to us about God and ourselves? What have these encounters revealed? The only thing I can do is share mine. I can tell you what God's revealed to me. And y'all will learn one thing about me real quick. I'm very transparent. I've lived a life where I just cannot hold nothing back. Because if I do, I won't be doing what God's called me to do. And I'm going to tell you what my encounters with God's revealed to me. It has revealed to me that I am useless without Him. I'm useless without Him. If I don't have the hand of God on my life, I am useless. I have no purpose. I have no plan. I have no future. I have no hope. I have no protection. I have no favor. I have no grace. There's no healing in my life. It's just me. That's it. I could have the biggest house. I could have the fastest cars. I could have the greatest job in the world, and it would be useless without a relationship with Jesus Christ, because without Christ, it's just stuff. It's just junk. It's just a job. It's just a relationship. It's just a vehicle. They all crash. They'll all burn to the ground. They're all made of plastic. Some of us pay more for plastic than others. But my encounters with God revealed to me that without Jesus Christ walking with me daily, I am a failure. But it also has revealed to me that when I walk beside Jesus Christ daily, then I'm victorious. Then I'm an overcomer. That I have purpose. All right? When I was praying about this message today, I said, God, if any words come out of my mouth that are on my capability, they'll leave empty. But if the words that come out of my mouth are from the Holy Spirit and are driven from you, they'll leave here transformed. I'm not smart enough to speak to you like this, but my Father is. And I found out that in my Father that I've got a calling on my life. Guess what? So do you. God didn't create me any different than Annette, baby, Anitra. He's got a special calling on your life. I promise you. Jenny, got a calling on your life. Danielle, Cammie, beautiful name. I love that. He's got a calling on y'all's life. And these encounters with God will show you what that calling is. These encounters with God will reveal to you who you are, who God is, but most importantly, who you can become. I don't want to be the Justin of yesterday. I want to be the Justin of tomorrow that God's called to change the world. I don't want to be the Justin of 5 years ago that was broken. I want to be the Justin that walks in victory and freedom. I don't want my marriage to look like it did 10 years ago. I want my marriage to look like what a kingdom marriage, what God promised me. That's what I want in my life. And the encounters that I have with God on a daily basis are what reveal these things to me. And it gives me hope. And it makes me wake up tomorrow with confidence in my heart and confidence in my smile to get up at 4:30 in the morning and go dig through the day, because you want to know what? At the end of the day, I'm going to get to experience God. I get to grow. I get to see the hand of God on my life. If you're in here taking a breath right now, that breath, that's the hand of God on your life. You're in here breathing something that you can't see, you can't catch, you can't control, and you can't bottle up. And guess what? It's giving you life. It's the breath of God. It's called Ruach. It's God breathing life into you right now. And He's breathing life into you right now, because I don't care if you're 85 years old or if you're 18 years old, God still has a plan for your life. That's what these encounters do. And I've been through this class 40 times, I think. And I'm more excited about encountering God today than I ever have been in my life. And I just want to encourage some of y'all to grab a hold of this opportunity that so many don't ever experience. This opportunity to grab a hold of these unique encounters with God, that if you will allow it, if you're willing to, God will transform your life right where you're at. And the last thing, here's the big question. Who will you become after the encounter? Who will you become after the encounter? I want to show you something, then we're going to wrap up. Can everybody see this? I want you to find somewhere in your book and write this down. Can everybody see it? It says, if we become anyone other than who God designed and created us to be and who he wants us to be. Look here, guys. We will forfeit a purposeful life. And I spelt purposeful like this for a reason. Because the more I encounter God, the more my life is full of purpose. The more I encounter God, the more my life is full of purpose. And the more I allow God to control and have his way in my life, the more purpose-filled life I have. Nobody wants to wake up tomorrow and not have purpose. We will forfeit who we are supposed to be. Do y'all realize that God... Let me find somebody. Javier, do you know that God designed you perfectly for his kingdom? That there is nobody else in this world that's like you? Amen. David, there's not another David in this world. There's not. And God designed you. He created you. And he wants you to be all you can be for God. That's what he designed you to be, David. Daniel, God created you and designed you for a purpose. When we understand that the God of the cosmos he doesn't make mistakes, and he designed us for a purpose. And when we grab a hold of that purpose, and we draw closer to God, the word says that I draw them near. And when we do this, and we begin to receive this purpose that God designed for us on day one, and we begin to experience this through encounters with God, it changes everything we stand for. It changes how we approach situations. It changes how we handle people. But the most thing that it does is it changes something inside of us. That we quit living our life for us. We quit living our life for others. And we begin to live for the Creator. And when we begin to live for the Creator, this purposeful life, this life full of purpose, there's nothing in this world that can compare to it. Give me Jesus all day. I've had all the money. And it left me broken, empty. I've had the relationships. I've had the lake houses. I've been on the expensive trips. And they've done nothing. They were temporary. But what I'm talking about is eternal. I want eternal stuff. I want to know that I'm making a difference. I want to know that my life meant something for the kingdom. I want to show up at the gates, war slap out, and God says, good job, well and done, faithful servant. That's what I want. That's what you want too. That's why you're in here tonight. If you didn't want that in your life, you wouldn't be in here tonight. Some of us are starving to death for something. Another steak, another baked potato, another seafood buffet is not going to fill you up. Some of us are thirsting to death. It doesn't matter how much you drink. It doesn't matter how much you achieve. There's only two things that's going to fill you up. The bread of life and living water. That's it. That's what these experiences do. That's what these encounters do. We get full on the bread of life. And when you get your belly full on the bread of life, and when you get your thirst quenched by living water, it doesn't matter what you come against. You're victorious because you know who's fighting your battles. You know whose you are. And you know who he is. That's what this class is about. That's what everything we do at this church is about. And if any of you underneath the sound of my voice tonight want to know Jesus in a more deeper, intimate, and powerful, purposeful way, you're in the right class. And if that's what you want, give Jesus an applause. Come on. I don't know about y'all, but 2020's been tough. But this is what I love about our Father. is he takes the most twisted, jacked up circumstances and he turns them around for his glory. And I still believe that this is going to be the biggest harvest we've seen yet. I'm talking about the biggest harvest of freedom, the biggest harvest of changed life, the biggest harvest of restored marriages, the biggest harvest of children coming to know God than we've ever seen. 2020 is just getting started for God. We're right in the middle of it. And I couldn't be more excited about these uncertain times because I get to hang my hat on the certain one. And when you can hang your hat on the certain one, you can wake up tomorrow and you can face it. Because as of right now, class, y'all just become family. And as of right now, every one of y'all get to walk out them doors in victory. And it's not because of who you are, but it's because of whose you are. Let God fight these battles for you. All right? I'm going to wrap us up in prayer, then I got a couple announcements. Father, God, I have to humbly stand here in these upside down circumstances. And God, everything points to you. God, there's nothing that in our powers that we can do to save ourselves, to redeem ourselves, to obtain peace, to obtain purpose. And God, you make it so easy for us. God, you said, drop your nets and follow me. And God, as we begin this process, I just pray, Father, that the words you've spoken here tonight, they do not stay in this room. I pray, Father, that they reside with each and every person in here tonight as they go about their life, as they go about their weekly routine, God. And I pray that they are intentional about making time to meet with you. Because, God, you've never failed to show up. I pray favor over this class. I pray a peace over this class. I pray strength over this class. I pray for them mentally, physically, emotionally. I pray for them sexually, Father. I pray for every area in their life, God, that they surrender to you. God, just thank you that we can climb up in the lap of Jesus. Thank you, God, that when you died upon the cross and the veil was torn, God, you give us full access to the presence of God. It resides and lives in our hearts. You desire to meet with us daily. And I pray, God, that our encounters that we encounter with you this week change our life forever. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, this is, I'm going to close this out and get y'all out of here. Look at there, we're going to be right on time. I think God can slow time down and he can speed it up. This is an 8-week course, and it ends in a retreat. Whitney, if you will, come up here. It's an 8-week course that ends in a retreat. And in that 8-week course, you can miss 2 classes. I'm going to let my wife, 3 classes. See, that's the reason I'm bringing my wife up here. So she needs to, yeah, because, well, we all know. She's smarter and a lot prettier now. She's going to tell you about the retreat, the expectations, and close us out.
All right, guys. This is an 8-week class, so you only have 7 left. And if you are one of those introverts when you walked in the room, look around you. The table you're at is the table you're going to be with for the next 7 weeks. This is your family. These are the people that are going to be reaching out to you. These are the people that are going to be encouraging you. If you're an extrovert, you are going to be okay anyway. But we love this, and what we love about this is who you see in this room is this encounter process ends in a 3-day retreat. But it's only for the people in this room. So you'll be with your table there too. It's an incredible process. We end at the retreat in Crockett. Our worship team comes. We have the best teachers that come in for it. If you have been to the Encounter Retreat, raise your hand. I want you to look around this room. If your hand is not up, and they're back for more. Did the Encounter Retreat change your life?
Yes.
Yes. Guys, if you are in this class and you're thinking, okay, I work and there may be a couple of Sundays that I'm going to miss, talk to your table host. We want to work with you. We want you to get the material. We want to see you grow and change in this process. So talk to your table host about that. What am I missing? Anything? Well, more on the retreat later.
Everybody got that? 8-week class. The retreat's the 12th and the 14th. If anybody needs to go ahead and take off for it. Do what? Of November. Yeah, November 12th through the 14th. The students will arrive, what time, Thursday? 5? At 5 o'clock Thursday evening. You'll have to take that Friday off. I promise you it's worth it. Invest in the kingdom. I promise you it will not return void. And then Saturday, some of the best food you'll ever eat. Amen. Great food, great facilities, great accommodations, beautiful campus. Big old humongous deck the size of this church overlooking the lake. Gorgeous place. I promise you, you will not regret the experience that happens at this retreat. We love you guys. Hey, we're proud that y'all are here. Take this with you this week. If you need your table host, they're there for you. And hey, if you know someone who needs this class, encourage them next week to come. Okay? They can still jump in. We'll be back here next Sunday. Doors open at 5:45. See you guys.